for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 10th Annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is Wednesday morning, October the 26th, 2005. Dorman Duggan is the speaker of this service.
Hallelujah. Are you ready? Father, we just come to you and we thank you, Lord, for your word today. Lord, we ask you, Lord, to open our hearts. We just ask, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would just use us today, Lord. We ask, Lord, that the words would just sink in our heart and bring forth fruit for your kingdom. And, Lord, it would bring glory to your name. And, Lord, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name. Amen. Today we're going to talk about offenses and unforgiveness. Most of you have heard a lot about that, but we're going to go in a little deeper depth of it today than probably you have before. But we're going to start off with Mark 11:23. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father also is in heaven, may forgive you of your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. See, as we see this, our forgiveness is conditional that we forgive if we want to be forgiven. I think sometimes we take that away too lightly. And I've been asked to speak on taking up others' offenses. And most of us have enough to deal with on our own without taking on somebody else's. But as I got to thinking about that, you know, in Luke chapter 9, when Jesus says he was time to go to Jerusalem, and he must needs go through Samaria, so he sent a group of men to Samaria to make ready for him to come. And they wouldn't receive him. So when James and John heard that, they said, let us just call down fire and consume them rascals. And see, they took up the offense because they wouldn't receive him. And see, so much of the time, we deal with our own offenses, but when somebody else gets offended, it's so easy for us to get offended with them. And a lot of times, what's really sad is, a lot of times, those people that got offended will deal with their offense with the person, but when you pick it up, you keep carrying it. So it's really important that we don't pick up offenses and we don't take offenses. But you remember Jesus turned to James and John, and he says, you don't know what spirit you're of. So that spirit of offense comes on you. And he said, for I didn't come to destroy men's lives. I came to save men's lives. See, that's the spirit of Christ come to save, not to destroy. And that spirit of offense comes, and it causes you want to hurt people. And we're going to look at that in a little deeper measure here in a minute. But I was thinking about, you know, how important it is for us to think about this. You know, in Numbers 13, when the children of Israel, when Moses sent the spies into the land, when they came back and the spies gave an evil report, the spies that came back, they gave an evil report. And immediately the people took up that offense of that evil report. They took that offense. And what did God say? You know, you're not going to enter in. You're going to die in the wilderness because of that. And so you see, it's easy for us to take up somebody else's offense. And I thought about this again in Numbers 32. When the Gad and some of them wanted to stay on the other side of the Jordan because the grass was good and they had cattle and they had everything they needed. And so they asked Moses if they could just stay on the other side for the cattle. And he got angry at them because he said, shall your brethren go to war and you sit here? And he says, if you discourage the hearts of the people by you staying here and not going in with them, God will destroy the whole bunch. See, sometimes our actions can offend others and cause an offense and create a problem with others. And see, I think sometimes we've taken unforgiveness a little too lightly. We just want to forgive lightly, but it goes a lot deeper than that. Our actions do affect others. What we do affects others. You know, none of them went in because of what those spies said. And he says, now, you, here you are again at the same place. And if you discourage their hearts from going in, if you offend them, you're going to be responsible for all their lives. You know, as I got to thinking about that, how many times has what I've done offended someone and affected a lot of people's lives? And so that's why this subject of offenses is covered so in depth that we really haven't seen the depth of what we need to look at in offenses. So let's look in Matthew chapter 18. One of the things, as you look at chapter 18 of Matthew, you're going to realize that this whole chapter of Matthew 18 has to do with offenses. Verse 1, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them, and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as a little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive such one little child in my name receives me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it was better for him that a millstone was hanged about his neck and he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses. It must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom they come. Wherefore, if your hand or your foot offend you, cut them off and cast them from thee. It's better for you to enter into life, halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to enter into everlasting fire. Or if your eye offends you, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It's better to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. So we see that's a pretty drastic step. If he says something about you offends, cut it off. It's better to cut that off than that should offend. So, you know, that's a pretty stout statement that he's making here about offenses. But, you know, who shall offend one of these little ones? And, you know, we talked about that. I want to look at this word that means offense. It means scandalizo. Now, listen to how. You remember what I said? When you do something that causes someone else to be affected, like in Numbers 13 and 32, to commit that which leads to the fall or ruin of someone else. To do something that causes someone else to fall or their ruin is what that offense is. It means to throw someone unaware into ruin, to give an occasion of ungodly conduct resulting in mischief occurred thereby. To entice, to lead into ruin, allowing someone to adopt a course in which he will unknowingly come into mischief or ruin. See, it's not like just getting your feelings hurt. It's doing something that can cause someone else to stop their walk with the Lord.
That's true.
See, it's more than just unforgiveness. It means more than that. And see, that's what he was saying to the children of Israel. If you do this and discourage their heart, it's not just going to affect you. It's going to affect the whole nation of Israel. And so, offenses, this is why he said, so if your hand or a foot offends you, cut that thing off, because look how many people that thing can hurt. We need to see offenses as a lot bigger thing that we need to deal with than we normally deal with. Okay. And if you look, see now, like I said, this is something that goes on. Now, we've all had the parable of the lost sheep. But how many of you had the idea of this parable of the lost sheep? You know, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones. What's he talking about? One of these little ones that you could offend. For I say unto you that in heaven there are angels who always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. How think you if a man have 100 sheep, and one be gone astray, doth he leave the 99 and go and find in the mountains and seek that which is gone astray? Now why did he go astray? See, this really hit me when I started seeing what he was saying. As a pastor, 32 years in the same church, I've seen a lot of people get offended and leave. But see, most people leave a church over an offense. What he's saying is, you leave the 99 there that's okay. You go find that one that's offended, and you deal with that offense, and you bring him back. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so, man, I tell you, when I started seeing this in a different light, I really started making steps to try to bring back and do some things with some people I knew that was offended that I could do something about. And we're going to look at that in a little bit. Said, if so be if he find him, he rejoices more with that sheep than the 99 that went not astray. Even so, it's not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these should perish. Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against thee. See, he's still talking in the same realm of offenses. If your brother trespass against thee, go tell him his faults between you and him alone. If he will hear you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, then take with you one or two more, that at the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. If he neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him to be as a heathen man or publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if any two of you agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done of them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. You know, most of us has taken that, the power to bind and loose, and we've used it mainly towards the demonic realm. But see, that has to do with offenses.
Right.
Both times you see this place used about binding and loosing, it's in the realm of offenses. Are you with me?
Yep.
Okay. And it goes on, see, and it's still the same thought. Then Peter said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus said, I say not until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven like a certain king which taken account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 1,000 talents. But for as much as he had not to pay, the Lord commanded him to be sold, his wife, children, and all he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave the debt. But the same servant went out and found a fellow servant which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay what you owe. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet beside him, saying, have patience, and I will pay you all. And he would not, and went and cast him in prison till he paid the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told the Lord what was done. Then his Lord after that called him and said, you wicked servant, I forgave you this debt because you desired it. Should you not have also had compassion on my fellow servant, even as I had pity on you? And the Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors. How many of you know what the tormentors are? Till he should pay the debt that was due him. So likewise will my heavenly Father do to you, if you do not from your hearts forgive everyone his brother their trespasses. You know, I've heard a lot of people say, you don't have to really forgive. Just, it's a decision of your will to forgive. You don't really have to forgive. It's just a decision to forgive. But that's not what this scripture says. It says, if you do not from your heart forgive your brother their trespasses. You know, one of the things that hit me real strong, is when we're talking about trespasses, all of us know when we stand praying, if somebody offends me, if my wife offends me, and I've got unforgiveness towards her, I say, God, I ask you to forgive me for my unforgiveness towards my wife. So I forgive my wife. But nowhere does the scripture talk about just forgiving the person. It's what the person did to you. It's the debt. It's the trespass. You know, I saw it when the Lord showed it to me. It's like an iceberg. The top 10%. He showed me that's the person. But the big part underneath the water is what that person has done to us. It's easy sometimes. Have you ever had a problem like me? You've had to forgive the same person 50 times?
Oh, yes.
Are you out there? You know why? Yeah? It's because we know we have to forgive the person. But somehow we feel like we have a right to hang on to what that person did to us. Now that's where that spirit of offense comes in.
Right.
See, as a pastor, I don't know about the rest of you, but I had this one elder. When I got this message together, I said, would you come and sit down in my office? We got to talk. Because I'd forgiven him 50 times, but I still had a problem with what he did. And I said, you got to forgive me for this trespass that I'm holding against you. Now see, it goes right to the meat of the thing. The scripture says, it says, teach us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Forgive us our debts, our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. It's the trespass. It's the debt that we have a tendency to hold on. Because we feel like if we let go of that trespass, that justice isn't being done. Somehow we have a legal right to hang on to what they've done to us. Amen?
No.
We don't have a legal right. But we do. And see, that's what the Lord showed me is you got to get to the place where you not only forgive the person, you release what that person has done to you. Fully, completely. Or the Father won't release you. And see, we're living in a nation that's, you know, I like what this one guy said. And he covered that a little while ago. Most of us repent enough to get our sins forgiven, but not enough to see the kingdom of God. See, with the kingdom, it's a lot more involved than just forgiveness of sins. And then we have to keep going back to Isaiah 53 to get the rest of what we need. And see, there's so much more there that we need to get a handle on. You know, Paul said, I pray your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When? All of us. Spirit, soul, body be preserved blameless. So he made provision for all of us. So we have to deal with these things in our lives so God can bring us to the place where he wants us. So we have to deal with that. I want you to see something I just saw the other day. In Mark chapter 3, when I was studying on this, I don't know why I'd never caught this. Probably because it's King James, and I just overlooked it. You know, nobody had a problem with Jesus, none of his family, nobody, until he was baptized and the Holy Ghost came upon him and he started casting out devils, healing the sick, and doing all the things he did. And then everybody got upset. See, you know, this is a problem. So when he started picking his disciples, and it says in verse 20, it says, a multitude come together so that he could not so much as eat the bread. And when his friends heard it, see, they went to lay hold on him. His friends, this word here is his kinfolk, his brothers, his sister, his mother. When they heard about what he was doing, they came to take hold of him because they said he's beside himself. His whole family was offended at what he did and what he was doing. They come to take him home in a straitjacket. They were offended at him. But what does it say about Jesus? He was the rock of offense, the stone of stumbling. But see, the only time he offended people was when he preached the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is offensive. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out devils. Okay, and in John, look with me, John chapter 7. John chapter 7, verse 1, it says, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry, because the Jews sought to kill him. Now the Jews of the Feast of the Tabernacle was at hand. Now his brethren, that's his brothers, his own blood brothers, therefore said unto him, depart hence and go to Judea, that thy disciples may see the works that you do. For there's no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeks to be known openly. If you do these things, show thyself to the world. For neither did his brethren believe in him. None of his family believed in Christ. They were all offended at him. You know, I never could fully understand what he meant in Matthew chapter 12. When he said, right after he said, if I cast out devils, the kingdom of God, by the Holy Ghost, the kingdom of God has come to you. And he said he was teaching, and they said, Master, your brother and your mother and your sisters all stand outside desiring to see you. And he says, who is my mother, my brother, and my sister? And then he pointed to his disciples and said, he that does the will of my Father, the same is my mother, my brother, my sister. See, that was the time they came to take him by force, to get him to quit doing what he was doing. See, that makes a little more sense. It also makes a little more sense when he says, they that be of your own household will be your enemies. You know, the thing about Christ, he was in all points, what? Tempted like we are, yet without sin. You know, that's what started that whole process and got him in trouble many times. But offenses are like that. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. You remember what happened to John? John was his cousin. I'm sure they played together many times when they was growing up. And John said when he saw Jesus, he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." He said, "I baptize you with water, but he that comes after me, I'm not worthy to loose the shoes of his strings. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." See, a lot of times our offenses come because we have preconceived ideas of what we think God should or shouldn't do.
Jealousy for one thing.
Huh?
Jealousy for one thing.
Yeah. Okay. Now here's John saying, "I baptize you with water, but when he comes, he's going to take over. He's preparing the way for a kingdom to come." And John was looking for this kingdom to come to be established right there and kick the Romans out and it be a thing that he could see. So when Jesus came kissing babies, you know, drinking a little wine, and John said he didn't drink no wine. He did all this stuff. He was in the wilderness preparing the way for him. And John saw what he was doing. John got offended at him. And he sent his disciples and said, "Jesus, are you the one that should come, or do we have to look for another one?" See, he was offended. He said, "Go tell John what you see, that the blind receive their sight, the dead are raised, the lame walk." And he says, "The poor have the gospel preached. And by the way, blessed is he that's not offended in me. Blessed is he that's not offended in me." See, one of the things, in Matthew 10, it says in the last days, Matthew 10, 24, 10, I think it says, in the last day, many shall be offended and betray one another and hate one another. And he says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." See, that word in the Amplified says, "Many shall be offended at whom they ought to trust and obey." They're going to be offended in Christ in the last days. And see, that's part of what's going to happen. You know, when you have preconceived ideas about what it ought to happen, and when it doesn't happen, you have a opportunity to be offended. Well, you know, it says one of the signs of the end times says, "Many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits." Spirits of offense. It starts whispering in your ear, "God don't really care. Look what's happening to you." Many will depart from the faith, giving heed to those seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So see, it's important that we understand and get these things dealt with, and we give God room to be God and not expect him to do what we think he should and get offended by it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Dad wrote here, while John was in prison, see, there he was waiting. He said, "I'm in prison. I'd like for this kingdom thing to get on, you know." And so when it didn't happen, he got scandalized. That's where we get that word from, the Greek, scandalized. That's the Greek word for that. And he was offended. Okay. You know, one of the things I was seeing here, when it was talking about binding and loosing, you know, it was mentioned a little bit earlier, just in one of the things. But it says, "Whosoever sins you remit." You remember John chapter 20:21. Jesus says, he came to them, and he breathed on them and said, "Receive you the Holy Ghost." He said, "Whosoever sins you retain, they're retained. And whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted." And see, that has to do with binding and loosing, the power of the church. And all of that has to do with loosing a brother. You know, Peter said, if your brother sinned, rebuke him. You go to him and deal with that offense right there. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother. But if not, take another one with you so that at the mouth of two witnesses this may be established. You bind it or you loose it. Okay. And if he fails to do that, you take him to the church. And if he fails to hear the church, kick him out of the church. Of course, they could do that in those days because there was only one church. Now we got 45,000 different ones they can get mad and go to. See, that's part of the problem, why we don't deal. The church doesn't have the authority to deal with things like we should, because if you get mad, you just go down the street. And we've lost the authority to be able to deal with these offenses. But it's important that we learn to deal with these offenses the way the Scripture talks about dealing with them. Amen? All right, 1 John, the Bible says, "As he is, so are we in this world." See, we're here as his representative. We're ambassadors in this world. You know that word sins, "Whosoever sins you remit, the remitted, whosoever sins you retain." That Greek word there means faults, it means offenses, it means sins. It's not just sins, it's offenses. Whosoever fences you forgive, they're forgiven. Whosoever offenses you retain, they're retained. And that's what it says. James says, if anyone is sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise them up. And if they have committed sins, offenses, they will be forgiven them. Confess your offenses one to another, and pray one for another that you may be cleansed. See, offenses are deadly poison in our life. You can't allow unforgiveness or offenses in your life, regardless of what it is. You know, that's why Jesus, in Matthew chapter 5, he says, love your enemies. Pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be a child of your Father who is in heaven. See, Matthew 5, 6, and 7 is kingdom conduct. It's how we're to conduct ourselves in the kingdom. It's how you should live. That's what that is. And so he's telling us to love your enemies. And you know, we're talking about when they heard this, you know, the disciples was pretty upset when they found Jesus talking to the woman at the well. Because Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And there's Jesus talking to this Samaritan woman. And she said, we know that when the Messiah comes, he's going to reveal everything to us. You know, isn't it interesting that the only person in the New Testament Jesus actually revealed himself to was her? He said, I that speak to you am he. And the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. And the disciples were shocked because he's presenting a new way of conduct. And so we see that he's saying, you've got to love your enemies, the kingdom conduct. You can't have any of that unforgiveness in your life. Okay. In Galatians, it says, Galatians 6 says, if a man be overtaken in a fault or an offense, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. See, that's talking about us. If there's an offense, we go and restore that offense. We have the authority to go do that. See, it's our job, binding and loosing. If you'll just look it in there. I mean, I've been casting out devils for 30-something years. And we bind you in the name of Jesus, and we loose this. But really, the scriptural thing about binding and loosing has to do with offenses. We can do the other. But it's more important that we bind those offenses and loose those offenses. Why? Because they're so devastating. You know, if we don't forgive and deal with that stuff, he don't forgive. I mean, how much clearer can it be? If we don't forgive our debts, he's not going to forgive our debts. I think sometimes we've made, well, like I said a while ago, we've made it too easy. We just said, you just pray this prayer and God will forgive you of everything and everything's okay and you got your stamp to heaven and you can live the way you want to. Something wrong with that picture. See, we can't do that because he has requirements that he expects us to go by. He said, if you keep my commandments, then are you my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will what?
Set you free.
Oh, boy. So like I said, when I started studying on this, I mean, I had to do some phone calling. And we still got some people we got to see. But you know, an interesting thing, I was sharing Sunday on some of this. After I got it all dealt with, I was doing pretty good. And all of a sudden, we had a problem with her. Some of her family members that called us up and chewed us out. And so I got mad. I just got mad. You know what happens? It's just Jonah complex. I do well to be mad. How many has ever done that? I do well to be mad. Well, I really didn't deal with it. I mean, I thought I had all my offenses taken care of. And then I started noticing something. All of a sudden, I was a little irritable. I was a little angry, a little short, and I couldn't figure out why I was reacting the way I was. Because that offense started creating in me a downward spiral of being angry and offended. And it was just after that, I said, oh, wait a minute. So I said, what's going on here? So I had to go back and look to see where that root was. See, everyone has had roots of all this stuff. It's got to be dug out.
That's right.
And I went back to where that was at, and I confessed to sin and asked him to forgive me and to cleanse me. Because that sometimes we're just angry and we don't know why. Husbands and wife. I've seen it with Janet at times. We get short with each other. And it doesn't take long. You go back and find out where you started this problem. Amen. But see, we have to keep this stuff out of our lives. We cannot allow these offenses in our lives. We have to deal with them. You know that scripture in Matthew says, agree with your accuser while you're in the way, lest you be handed to the judge. That has to do with offenses. The accuser is the one you've got offenses with. He's going to bring you to the judge, and you're going to have to deal with it before the judge. It's better to deal with it before you get to the judge. Are you with me?
Right.
Amen. Because it doesn't just affect you, it affects everybody around you. Right? You know, in Leviticus chapter 19, it says, "You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall surely rebuke your neighbor, lest you incur sin because of him." Leviticus 19:17-18. Now once more, there's that principle. Don't hate your neighbor or your brother. If there's a problem, rebuke him. If he repents, forgive him. How many times, Lord? 70 times 7. See, because why? This is the thing. You remember when Jesus told us, what did he do with James and John? When they said, let's just call down fire and consume the whole bunch. Let God sort them out. And he said, you don't know what spirit you're of. And then he rebuked them. And you remember when Peter said, Lord, he said, you're the Christ, the Son of God. And then he told him what was fixing to happen. Peter began to rebuke him. I know Peter didn't get very far. But it says the Lord rebuked him and said, get thee behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. See, he was offended at what was going on. And you love the things of man more than the things of God. See, the best way to deal with an offense is when it happens, deal with it right then. If your brother sinned, go to him. Let's deal with it right then. If he repents, forgive the thing. Keep short accounts. See, we have a tendency to want to hold on to those things. And what happens? A root of bitterness starts springing up, and thereby many be defiled over that offense. And that's what happens in our life if we don't deal with that. The Bible says in 1 John 2:9, he that saith he's in the light and hates his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loves his brother abideth in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. An offense is a stumbling block. You know what? I always thought that word hate, if you hate your brother, I mean, we don't really hate our brother, do we? Not like the way we think hate is. Until I, like this brother, looked up the word hate. And you know what that word hate means? Disesteem. Just to think a little less of.
One definition says relative disregard for.
Yeah. Now that puts hate in a little different light, doesn't it? Is there people you just don't have a whole lot of regard for? Mm-hmm. See, that's this word. And we snuck them under. No, I don't really hate them. I just don't have nothing to do with them anymore.
Wow.
I don't like them. If Earth swallowed them up, it'd be all right with me. But that's what that word means. It's not that, oh, hate. It's just disrespect, disesteem, disregard. If you disesteem your brother. And he says, he that saith he's in light and disesteems his brother is in darkness, and even till now. He that love his brother abides in the light, and there's none occasion of stumbling in him. Detest. Man, I didn't like getting this message together. It was too painful. 1 John 3:15, whosoever hates his brother, whoever despises his brother, is a murderer. And you know no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. This is heavy stuff, saints. This is heavy stuff he's dealing with here. Now, the whole thing about binding and loosing and the authority of the church to deal with this stuff is because the consequences are so bad. Do you know most of us have the freedom to choose an offense if we want to? But we don't have the freedom to choose the consequences of it if we do. See, the consequences are bad. That's why he said, it's better to cut your arm off or poke an eye out than live with the consequences if you don't deal with this. So, you know, we got to take this more serious than we have. Amen? Glory. Leviticus 19:18 says, you shall not take revenge or bear any grudge against the sons of the brother of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself, for I am the Lord. Romans 12:17 says, recompense to no man evil for evil. The Message Bible says this, don't hit back. Discover the beauty in everyone. If you've got it in you to get along with everybody, don't insist on getting evil. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scriptures tells us that if you see your enemy hungry, go buy him a lunch. or if he's thirsty, give him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good.
Amen.
Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil by doing good. See, that's kingdom conduct. That's really what it's all about, is the kingdom. Matthew 5:44. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. Why? That you may be a child of the kingdom of your Father. So we have to, says, as Christ forgave you, so forgive you. We have to forgive in the same proportion. You know, one of the things the Lord showed me, that offenses are like spiritual cancer. They just eat away at you if you don't deal with them. And that's why they're so deadly. They just eat away at you. How many of you have heard of Kim Clement? Have you heard of Kim? Okay. I don't know what a lot of you think, but we pull some prophetic words off of the his website. We just listened to one of them coming down. And he was saying, God said, I'm tired of the disunity in the Democrats and the Republicans. I'm tired of this nation that should be one nation under God in disunity. And then he said, I'm tired of the disunity in the churches. He said, enough's enough. He said, for every church leader, every pastor, every gatekeeper that continues to sow discord in the church, he's going to take them out. And he meant die. That's what he said. He used that word. And he's going to raise up another generation. He said, I am going to have unity in my church.
He's right on target, isn't he?
Yes, he is. See, the things in the book of Acts, you know, when Paul went through and he saw what they're doing at Mars Hill, he said, times of this ignorant, God said, just let it go. But now, he says, time to repent. And what God's saying, I'm tired of this disunity. You know, I have a pastor's meeting. We've been meeting together I've had in my local city about 15,000 people. We've been meeting for 25 years, all the pastors in the city. I've had a lot of them come and go, but we meet every week. And I've got about 12 to 14 that come every week. And I said, you know, one of the rules, we don't talk about our churches, we talk about the kingdom. And there's such a bond there that some of them drive, we had one pastor driving 200 miles one way every week to get there. And there's such a bond there and unity in the spirit there. And the thing is, you know, there's not but one church. But you get to thinking about when Jesus prayed, I pray that they be one, that the world may know that you've sent me.
Right.
Now look what's happened through offenses. We got 45,000 different denominations that all think they're right.
Mm-hmm. And all it's man's doctrine.
It's all man's doing. It's because we've been offended. And we've held on to something that's offended us, or we've camped around. And see, you know, the thing is, he's coming back after a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. There's going to have to be some changes made before he comes back, isn't there? And so, you know, I think, you know, I respect this Kim. I mean, I heard the prophecies where he was speaking to New Orleans and said, you know, in July, he said, enough's enough, New Orleans. And he says, the flood's coming into your city and bodies will be floating in the streets. Huh? Yes. Yeah, he said that. And he was in Oregon, and he said, water, water, water. And he said, Port Arthur, pack your bags and leave. Now, when a guy does this, when he says something like, pastors, you better quit sowing discord. You better listen. We better listen. It's time for us to come together and quit the bickering and the fighting and deal with the stuff, the roots in our hearts.
We need one identity, and that is Jesus Christ.
He's all we need. You know, and I tell these guys, I minister to pastors all the time. Poor pastors beat up. And this one Assembly of God pastor came to me, and he was coming to my meetings. And I said, we need to talk. And I said, what's going on? He said, well, they hadn't paid me in 2 months. And I told my wife, I'm getting exactly what I deserve, nothing. And I said, we need to visit. So we got to talking. I said, your problem is you can't separate your identity from the ministry. I said, what you do is not who you are. See, when your identity is in the kingdom and the increase of his kingdom and peace, there's no end. It's growing every day. See, there's 1,500 pastors a month leaving the ministry because their identity is wrapped up in their success, whether they succeed or fail. That's who they are. And they burn out, and they leave the ministry. And see, if your identity is in the kingdom, I tell everybody every day, we've been there 32 years, I can lock the door and walk out, and nothing's going to change because my identity is not my church. My identity is in Him. See, that's the difference. We've got to have our identity in the kingdom, not in the church. Jesus never preached the church. He preached the kingdom. And that's what we need to be preaching. In the book of Matthew, you'll find the church mentioned twice and the kingdom mentioned 55 times. What's important? As the Father sent me, if you look through the, you'll see. He said, Jesus preached the gospel of the kingdom. He sent out, the, what was it, last night we was talking about the 12 and the 70. What did He tell them to go preach? The gospel of the kingdom. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, cast out devils. That's what He told them to do. Do you have a question?
Gary Prince has a tape. I guess you're probably familiar with the local church. He talks about how the churches and the community should be the community church and they should get together.
Uh-huh.
If you walk in a church on this side of town, you should be hearing the same things on that side of town.
Yeah. Well,
be preaching God, not denomination.
We're pretty well doing that because most of the guys come, won't they get that Tuesday, that's what they go preach. So we really, you know, it's pretty exciting, you know. Yeah, and it's really working good. We've got a Baptist guy, we got an Episcopal, Presbyterian, we got several Assembly of Gods, and several, I don't know. We had a Catholic deacon for a while. We even had Church Christ pastor for a while till his elders made him quit coming. And so, you know, it's all about Him, and it's just been growing and doing good, and it's just a blessing to see God moving in there. Hereford, Texas.
Yeah.
It's up by Amarillo. Yeah. We have Unity Services. We had one not too long ago where, what, there's 10 or 12 pastors there that night. We all got on the stage and told what this meant to us to be together. And we told everybody there in the congregation, if you got a problem with Him, you got a problem with the rest of us. There's nowhere else for you to go. You got to deal with it. So it's pretty interesting. But, you know, that's what unity is all about. And that's the heart of the Lord. I pray that you may be one as we are one, that the world may know that I've sent you.
You got time to work with me on this one?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Talk about binding and loosening.
Uh-huh.
And I'm well aware of binding to and binding off and loosening on,
uh-huh,
and loosening off. And hearing your teaching this morning has given me another thought about loosening and the need for me to loosen my brother from the bonds of his offense against me.
You got it. You have the power.
Is an additional way,
right,
to the what I had in mind before in terms, mm-hmm, of with myself or with someone when I pray with them.
Mm-hmm.
But now by loosening him from his sin,
mm-hmm,
it has given me another dimension. At least I'm thinking that it has, mm-hmm, and that's what I'm asking you.
Yeah,
and how this thing is working. That hey,
it really, it is that way. I mean, we've been afraid to go there because, you know, we who are y'all? But, you know, he said, whosoever sins you remit, they're remitted. That's part of the authority of the church. And, you know, it says in 1 John, if you see a brother sin a sin which is not to death, you shall ask life for that sin, and it'll be granted. What is he saying? He said, you can ask God to forgive the sin of your brother. Now, we got into some heavy stuff last night. But see, what is the whole issue of binding and loosing? You have the power to release them from that offense, or if they don't, you have a power to retain them in that and turn them over to the tormentors till it's paid.
The Bible tells us if we don't forgive our brother, then we don't get forgiven.
You won't be forgiven.
And I went 1,400 miles one time because I heard my brother-in-law had an offense against me. I didn't know what it could have been about.
Mm-hmm.
But I went there and asked him to forgive me. I didn't go there caring whether or not he forgave me or not, or said he forgave me. The point is, I did what the Word of God says, and it says, if you have a brother, or you feel you have a brother that has an ought against you, whether you got an ought against him or not, if you feel you got a brother that's got an ought against you, go to him and ask them to forgive you. You don't have to be going to them and saying, well, you got to change it too. All you got to do is go there knowing that you have obeyed God in the fact that you have went and asked for that forgiveness.
Amen.
Kind of cold-hearted in that, having done that, you're saying, okay, I've taken care of me. You got to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's put it like this. I believe God, whenever you go there not worrying about it. If you go there not worrying about whether or not he forgives you or not. See, if we worry about whether he forgives us or not, and we go there and he said, I ain't going to forgive you.
You've done your part.
You've done your part.
I think, though, the biblical thing is the lost sheep, you want him back. The whole thing is restoration.
That's right.
The heart of the Father is restoring the one that's offended. So, you know, it's not just a matter of us. If you come to the altar now, you remember your brother has ought against you. You go to your brother. Try to make it right first. Because
right.
God's interested in restoration, not just making sure that, that ours. You have.
You know about the thing you're talking about offending and to the point that you want to cause someone to quit?
Mm-hmm.
Spirit.
It's a spirit.
Will manifest and will offend a person to where they just want to quit.
Right. And see.
Well, that's what my parents did that to me as a child. And I find, you know, it's almost like a victim mentality type thing. It's still, that reality is still happening with me. Except the only difference is. People that are around me, not many, but that do it, I'm confronting them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm saying, now that's not true. You know, like when I feel that spirit rise, coming in to cut me, to just cut me down to the ground, I say, that's not true. And, you know, that's not right that you're speaking to me like that. And instead of just taking it all in, hanging up the phone, and then just being devastated for however long. But what is your wisdom on that? It is helping that I'm drawing that line, saying, now that's not true.
Let me say something here.
What should you do?
See, we're all going to be offended, you know, especially in the ministry. You're going to be offended. But it's like our brother was saying about Isaiah 53. What's so wonderful about everything that the Lord asks us to do, he's already paid the price for us to get free from it.
That's right.
And so that's the key to this whole thing, is that, you know, one of the best scriptures my wife and I found lately is Jeremiah 17:5. It says, cursed is a man that trusts in man, that makes flesh his strength and his heart departs from the Lord. See, what's happened when you get offended is because you're expecting something from someone. You're looking to them for something. It may be your needs met, acceptance. You're looking to them for something. And when they don't give it to you, it offends you, especially with your parents. See, I had this problem. We'll talk about it tomorrow. But one of the things we got to realize is flesh and blood can't meet our needs. And when you start looking to man to meet your needs and they don't, and you get offended, you're the one that's in the wrong. Now, once more, this goes back to Romans 4:25, where it says, Jesus was crucified for our offenses.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I don't have to carry any of them.
That's right.
But he was raised for our justification, to forgive us. So everything in this Bible covers something that we have a need of in our lives. And so he died for all those offenses. And, you know, one of the things is that we are complete in him. We don't have to carry this stuff because you will be offended. See, the thing about offenses, I can deal with the past. I can deal with the present. But with some of her family, the way it looks like, it's going to be an ongoing thing. Hey, come on now.
I mean, do you disassociate? You don't?
No. You take that and here's what you do. When you hear that and you get offended, you say, Lord, I just confess that as sin. You died for that and I don't have to have it. And I just call it sin. Because it is a sin. I'm not receiving that offense. It works. And so, because you can't keep people from offending you, but you can not accept that offense.
You can't keep it off of your back.
You can. And that's the provision he's made for us. You can't. People going to offend you, but you don't have to receive that offense.
Can I give two examples?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when if we're a church, we need to take it out of this building into the light.
Yeah.
I have a business. I was remodeling. And I told a young man to go hang a door. I said, watch the light switch, which the hinge, the opposite side of the hole, as mm-hmm. the door. I mean, as the light switch. Well, 2 seconds later, I walk in there, and he hangs it backwards. So the hinge over against. In other words, you'd have to go around the door. If the light switch. He never saw me enter the room, but my nostrils flared. I got offended because I told him.
Yeah, right.
But before I walked across the room, my back started killing me. I stepped out of the house, onto the ground, and walked about 10 feet, and the Holy Spirit said, go back in and apologize for him for getting mad at you. So I walked back in. I said, he didn't even know I was in the room. I called the guy's name. I said, I want you to forgive me for getting mad at you. Okay. Boom, my back was healed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, another one was recently in my family. My family came and visited me. They're good, quote, Baptist people, deacon, and my sister, deaconess. And my wife was telling them about, you know, their son maybe had some problems in his life. He had colitis at that point. Well, they got mad because we was telling them he may need to confess his sins. They got mad at us for about 3 years and didn't talk, you know. But I kept communication. They would tolerate me, but they wouldn't really talk to me. But 3 years later, my sister called me and said her son was diagnosed colon cancer. The Holy Spirit drawed me to go out there. I led him through this. What you're talking about, the spirit of offense. I started with his friends, started mm-hmm. with his close friends, his boss, his wife, and got to his family, to his mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "What? Do you have any offense against your mother or any disagreement?" Anyway, gave that old eye roll. So he forgave his mother. Then I asked him about his father, and his father was there. He was the one that got offended. And he says, "Too little, too late."
Mm-hmm.
He said it right to his father. He forgave his father. We prayed. His colon cancer turned around right then on the spot.
Wow.
Because
yeah.
the blood count came, and it started from going negative to the positive. Now, I'm going to tell you what he's talking about. The spirit of offense is real.
It's real.
It has power.
It is.
It has power. And you have the authority to release the situation, to really release you and the person that you have. Has got offense.
Mm-hmm. When he said, I'll turn you over to the tormentors, those are the demonic forces.
That could be cancer, lung disease, heart disease,
yep.
Emotional problems, anything that you could think of. Your worst fear will come upon you.
See, all demonic spirits are, all sickness is demonic. I'm convinced of that.
It is.
Because, you know, he said in Luke, ought not this woman who Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years be loosed? And Acts 10:27 said, God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good, healing all that was oppressed of the devil. For God was with him. John G. Lake and Smith Wigglesworth both said, every disease is a demon. Cancer is a devil, he says.
Even
they said.
In Genesis, by one man, death entered into
by one man's offense.
Yeah, one man's offense, it entered in.
5:17, Romans 5:17.
Also by one man, we were...
made righteous. Come on now.
Also by one man, it was turned around, that offense.
Yeah. See, God got offended because Adam and Eve did what they did, and all humanity died.
Yeah.
That was an offense.
We're still caught in that debt.
See.
My body's going to die.
And look at the children of Israel. Look what they did because God got offended. They didn't go in. So why is he so heavy on offenses for us? Because he knows the consequences of it.
Moses offended one time.
Yeah. Well, Moses got offended at God. David got offended at God. You look through the scripture.
Jonah,
everybody. There's scriptures everywhere where they got offended. You know. And so offenses are going to come.
When you go through what he was talking about this morning downstairs, you got to deal with that there offense part in your... deliverance minister part too.
Yep.
When you're coming to God, I want to get rid of this curse.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a defense. You gotta get rid of that because
I'm offended with you, God, because you didn't do it like I wanted you to.
Oh, we always, you know? In every session, you have to deal with their unforgiveness towards God. That's usually just normal.
Right.
But see, the thing that's God really impacted me with, we've been so trained in the Christian community to forgive the person, we don't have a thought about it. But we really don't release what they did to us. That's where the demonic comes in.
You know, the Lord showed me something the other day, and that, or spoke to me something the other day,
and that is about the, slipped my mind, that's what, good grief. Anyway, his will.
Mm-hmm.
The will, like the will of somebody, like, you made our will.
Mm-hmm.
Your will was already there. And you made that will, you got to go by that will.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus made a will for us. His will is already established in the Word of God.
That's right.
All we got to do is obey
mm-hmm.
what it said in the, says in that will, and we receive what He said.
That's it.
And when your folks died or something other, if you don't obey what they say in the will, you don't get what the
mm-hmm.
what's coming to you.
There's more in there than we've recognized. Let me read this in the Amplified. Matthew 24:10 says, many shall be offended and repelled and begin to distrust and desert him whom they ought to trust and obey, and will stumble and fall away and betray one another, pursue one another with hatred. And this good news of the kingdom, what good news? Of the kingdom. Now, it's good news of the kingdom. See, the church has preached the gospel of forgiveness of sins. The church hadn't preached the gospel of the kingdom. And this gospel of the kingdom must be preached in all the world before the end comes. And I think the church is just beginning to wake up to the fact that all we've preached is forgiveness of sins, not the gospel of the kingdom. So that's a whole other realm we've got to move into. And we've got to start seeing it in a different realm. The gospel of the kingdom is where the power is. That's where the authority is. Paul said, I didn't come preaching to you enticing words of man wisdom, but in demonstration of the kingdom and power. That your faith shouldn't stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's kingdom. So that's the kingdom power has to come to touch this earth. And that's where all the works are being done, in the realm of the kingdom. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. And he says, but he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, you know why Jesus... I want you to see something. Jesus went through a lot of offenses. He went through a lot of things. But one thing he did, he says, because iniquity abounds, the love of many shall wax cold. Because those iniquities are abounding, men's hearts will be hardened and love will grow cold. See, Jesus didn't allow his heart to be hardened through all he went through. He kept his love. He never gave up on his love. And because of that, because he, if he endured to the end, he didn't allow his love to grow cold. Remember when he was on the cross, he said, Father, lay not this sin to their charge. See, and that's the key. Love does not, what does love do? 1 Corinthians 13. Seeks not its own. Look at all the things love covers. And see, the key to not being offended is the Holy Ghost. It says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. See? And so the love of God in the heart, it's easy to forgive. And Jude says, keep yourselves in the love of God. That's where you can keep yourself. If you stay in that agape love, you don't have to worry about being offended or hurt. See? And God is love. And 1 John says, as He is, so are we when we go to heaven?
Yeah.
No. As He is, so are we in this present world. See, it's a now thing. He wants us to be as He is now.
He's not Pentecost, He's now.
He's now. See, that's one thing about the kingdom. Our problem is we've made the kingdom when we die just a few more weary days and then I'll fly away. That's not the kingdom's now. Jesus said, the kingdom's here now. So we need to deal with this stuff so y'all can beat the rest of them to the meal. So what I want to do, we need to forgive all these folks and let these offenses go, and then we will come against that spirit of offense that's there. Because it's not just to, you know, we can't just forgive the person. We got to forgive what they've done to us. And that's where it gets hard. because I know there's people been violated. You've had things happen to you, and you feel like, I have a right to hold on to this. But you don't have a right to hold on to it. You have to release that offense. Forgive us our debts as we forget our debtors, what we owe them, or what they owe us. You see what I'm saying? It's not just a person. It's the trespass. It's the debt. And so that's the key to getting rid of the offense. We have to cover the offense to get free. As long as you hold the offense, there's a spirit there with it. And every time you turn around, something happens. First thing you know, what comes out? That offense. Even though you've forgiven them many times. And so we want to deal with that spirit of offense today. Okay?
Amen.
So let's lead you in prayer. Say, Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you've forgiven me of my sins. And I come now, and I want to forgive all the people that I have an offense towards. Not only that, I want to forgive the debt, the offense they owe me. I release it. I let it go. I say, paid in full. They owe me nothing. And Lord, I ask you to forgive me as I forgive. And Lord Jesus, I just want to confess this sin. Holding this offense. Because you died for my offenses. And I have no right to it. So I ask you to forgive me. For holding it. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, we just come now in the name of Jesus, and we just take authority over that spirit of offense and unforgiveness in Jesus' name. And we command that spirit to come out now. We command you, just take a deep breath. Command you, spirit of offense, come on out. Spirit of unforgiveness and offense, you come out of these folks right now. You have no more rights, no legal grounds to be there anymore. Spirit of offense, you go now. Come on out, all you spirits of offense and unforgiveness. Unforgiveness towards parents, you come on out now. Unforgiveness towards mother and father, you come on out now. In the name of Jesus, unforgiveness towards brothers or sisters. Come on, the unfairness, that spirit of unfairness, you come on out. Come on out. Come on out, that spirit of unfairness. It's not fair if I let this go. They owe me. Come on out, all you spirits of unfairness. Come on out in Jesus' name. Come on out in Jesus' name. Every one of you spirits of unforgiveness and offenses, you go now. Go now in Jesus' name. Come on out. Come on out, every one of you. You go now. All of it. All of it. Come on out. All those rejection from mother and dad. All those spirits of rejection that go with the offenses. Come on out. Come on out now. You got no rights to stay. All of you out. All of you out in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free. Thank you, Lord, for delivering us from all those offenses in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Ooh, glory. Any more questions? We got a little time here.
No, I think that it would suit America if this was taught in terms of the marriage relationship between husband and wife. There wouldn't be 50% divorce. There wouldn't be,
you got it,
those things that are going on. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I ask forgiveness for my holding that held against the offenses against my wife, and I command no well spirit to come out of me now in
Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every time you go to a marriage seminar, they never touch this. They never touch this.
And it's the root of all your problems. Getting hurt, rejected, and offended. Undealt with. First thing you know, root of bitterness springing up, trouble you. Blows up.
Jesus was probably the most offended of all that was ever offended, and he forgave them all.
He forgave them all.
I mean, he didn't ask for forgiveness first.
Uh-uh. And he was the one that offended the most.
He's the one that is our example. You know?
He didn't offend people. He didn't offend people purposely, but when he started preaching the gospel of the kingdom,
He offended the Jews. Now, you know one of the things about offenses, when you start that process down, you get to that place where James and John, let's just kill them. Because that's the easiest way to deal with someone. If you're offended at them and you hate them, you're a murderer. And you want them dead. See, James, now, let's just kill them. Let God sort them out. See, when the Jews got offended at Jesus, what was the only thing they could do? Kill him. To get rid of him. So if you leave an offense in your heart, first thing you know, you're going to be hating and murder. And no murder has eternal life abiding in you.
You're not going to have the favor of God on your life.
Oh, no. No, and that's what I'm saying. It leads to death. And you got to nip that thing when it starts. You know.
Again, in the Episcopal Church, when I start talking about abortion as murder and casting out demons and these things, you're talking about getting offended. I bet there's not 10% of my church are hard to talk to.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know what? That 10% is coming around. They're getting baptized in the Holy Spirit. Thank
you. Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, this is one thing we go out in the world, we got to be careful that we don't offend people. We don't have a license to go around offending people just because they don't agree with us, you know. So we got to be careful.
Thank you, brother. God
bless you. Bless y'all.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also really
that
this also really is
idolatry. Yeah. Well, it's all there. It's all real. I guess this is all I do.
I don't think it's safe.
Well, Pastor?
I don't think it's safe.
Huh?
I think it's in
here.
Yeah,
it's in this thing.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.